Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
COVID was like day in and day out, especially in the beginning. I had the news wall-to-wall COVID, how deadly it was, how dangerous it was, how we had to shut everything down, and who drove it? Who drove the coverage? It was Fauci, right? Well, we now have Fauci's diary because Senator Rand Paul just released it. And that's how we know that on February 8th, 2020, he wrote that COVID was no more deadly than your standard seasonal flu, with a 0.2 to 0.3 death rate. That's a severe seasonal flu, but we have one of those about twice a decade. Nobody even notices it most of the time. So as he's recording in his diary in February that it's no more deadly than the seasonal flu, he turns around and goes on TV and flat out lies, saying it's 10 times more deadly.
It's 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu. You got to make sure that people understand that. It is 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu. I think that's something that people can get their arms around and understand. I mean, people always say, well, the flu, you know, the flu does this, the flu does that. The flu has a mortality of 0.1%. Sure. This has a mortality of 10 times that.
The other part about it that's really so different from anything that we've ever faced before is that if you look at the mortality of seasonal flu, the thing that you and I go through every season, the mortality of this is about 10 times that.
He's lying. Because a month before that, he'd written in his own private diary, he never expected that you would read, that it's actually 0.2, 0.3, no more deadly than the seasonal flu. He's lying there. Yet a month later, he'd go on television and say it's 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu, that we'd never seen anything like this, that we needed to shut down the economy. He even testified before Congress under oath that it was 10 times the rate of the flu and encouraged everyone to shut down. Now, here's where this gets just jaw-drop. I mean, can you remember what this was like? In the beginning of this, I remember very well, this audience was terrified of COVID. Everybody was. And at the time, I came out and said, no, it's not. It's going to end up being the same death rate as the flu. Not a big deal. And so I tell you, half the audience would say, I'm tuning out. I'm never listening to you. You're going to kill people. How did I know? How did I get this right back in March of 2020? Because Fauci had quietly written in the New England Journal of Medicine that, yeah, it looked really deadly now. COVID looked really bad, but don't worry, when it's over, it won't be any more deadly than the seasonal flu. And I kept quoting it and quoting it and quoting it. Look, he's telling us he's lying. He's telling us right to our faces he's lying. But it wasn't enough. Wasn't enough to stop him. That's how I knew. And I kept quoting it. I just kept quoting it back at those of you who doubted me and said, no, we're not going to die. No, we're not shutting down restaurants and destroying businesses. Do you remember the Greenville News story about all the local businesses that shut down because of this? Well, privately in his diary, Anthony Fauci was taking a victory lap at how his lies were destroying the economy. The same diary in which he admitted COVID was no more deadly than the seasonal flu. So in early 2020, in February, Fauci records in his diary how much he's able to make the stock market drop with his lie that COVID was 10 times more deadly than the flu. Well, at the same time, again, in the same diary, he writes that COVID wasn't any more deadly than the seasonal flu, while going on TV saying the opposite to terrify the public, what I just played for you. It's all lies. Into shutting down the economy, folks. Now, in his diary, he's recording the date of his press conference, how he, quote, this is his writing, came out with the guidelines that reflected my pushing for a more aggressive 15-day strategy, stay away from bars, close the bars, restaurants, places of congregation, close schools where there is community spread, right? So he's noting this is what I advised on March 16, 2020. And then he puts a note at the end, press conference was highly attended. Stock market dropped by 3,000 points, the biggest percentage drop in history. So he's recording the stock market drops after his press conferences, which he knows he's lying because he's also recorded that in the diary. Now it's not that deadly. And he turns around, goes, says the opposite, and then records how much the stock market dropped. He was proud that he was able to cause the biggest stock market drop in history, folks. That's pure evil. What an evil little man. Folks, I looked it up. I looked it up through September of that year. Over 70,000 U.S. businesses were decimated. You know how many dreams, hopes, family businesses, that some of them have been around for generations, just annihilated by this man. And he thought it was fun. It was funny. He's writing these self-congratulatory diary entries about how much he dropped the stock market with the lie. Oh, and then the other part, he even writes about how, well, there was only two scientists that actually think it came from the wet market, but me and everybody else, we know it came from the Wuhan lab. Of course you did. It's where you sent the gain-of-function technology so our worst enemy on Earth would have the tech to create COVID and things much more deadly. How is this guy still walking around? What an evil, evil person. But the saddest part of all, because remember, Fauci was just a mid-level bureaucrat, okay? Trump had a CDC director. Our whole point of having a CDC is to handle pandemics, right? But he sidelined him in favor of Fauci. I remember we'd do those daily press conferences with Fauci. Well, about a conversation he had with Crooked Deborah Burks, the other crooked doctor, who, by the way, later admitted she didn't think it was that deadly either. She just made it up. She thought it was the best thing to do, she said. And in it, he's writing about how after the press conference, Deborah Burks texted and then called me. This is Fauci writing his diary, saying it was good I was not there. Because Trump called Burks into the Oval Office and started yelling and saying, "You and Fauci destroyed the country and the economy. I should never have listened to you. You've completely destroyed us." So that's April of 2020. So we now know by April of 2020, Trump has figured out I've been had by this guy. They're lying. Fauci writes, he keeps saying, talking about Trump, over and over and over and over, this again, "You've destroyed the economy. You've destroyed us. You've destroyed us." I encouraged her that we're okay. Fauci writes, and at the end of the day, she and I will be loved by the people that we care about. She was relieved and wrote me a text sincerely thanking me. And they destroyed the economy. $10 trillion in debt. Family businesses. I mean, again, over 70,000 completely destroyed. And that was just through September. Final toll, over 200,000. People's dreams, lives crushed. Just another game, sport. But you know what's so mind-blowing, folks? Think about the coverage, how all pervasive COVID was. It was all fake. Yes, COVID was real, and yes, it was a bug, and yes, it did have the same death rate as the flu, which means Fauci killed millions worldwide. He's an absolute mass murderer. But again, not something we ever should have shut the economy down for, and he knew it, and he wrote it, and he went out and lied anyway. And he's still walking around. Folks, it's the greatest scam ever pulled on this country. And he's still walking around. You know what's interesting, folks? Now that we know Trump knew he'd been had by April, he was stuck. He still had to keep it up because by then Fauci had become a god. You couldn't question him. Remember, he was the science and you couldn't question this. One man was the science. Nobody else was the science. And when other people who were the science, people from, remember, Oxford, Stanford, the world's foremost virologists, tried to go online, remember this, and say, "Hey, you know, this is not true." Remember who had him censored? Remember who one of the 20 people was who would feed the FBI censorship orders? One of them was Fauci. Folks, I'll never forget this. I got strikes on Facebook for saying true things, and I've never recovered my reach on Facebook. It's probably 90% decreased what it was. Because I was censored by that little rat. Censored by the FBI, who we now know they were inside Facebook. They were inside Twitter. This is what it took to keep the lie going. What a period in our history. And you know what, folks? Watch this. liberal mainstream media is going to black this out. There will be no mention of Fauci's diary. They'll just pretend to not know these things. It's how they lie, by omission.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Well, over in the lying mainstream media, they've been mocking Republicans for suggesting that Democrat Socialists of America are really communist or really radical. I mean, why would you describe them that way?
Talking about this, talking about the threat of communism, explaining about how Democrats are going to try and offer you free stuff, and that might sound good for a couple years.
Weird they're skipping straight to communism? And I just wonder why you can't just critique socialism as is and you have to go straight to communism.
Communism's much more, if you're just branding and you know this as a communicator for campaigns, it's much easier
sounds
to understand.
Scary to go straight back to the 50s. Yeah. Love it. Okay.
Yeah, it's also confusing because this guy is the national co-chair of Democrat Socialists of America. Let's see what he says.
I mean, our goal is liberation. Our goal is communism.
I wonder what he means by that. It's not really clear. Anyway, so this weekend, the other chair, the co-chair, Megan Romer, went on Fox News. I guess they called her and said, hey, would you like to record a campaign commercial for Republicans for free? And she said, yes, I would. I would like to do that. Here's how this went on Fox News with Shannon Bream. Again, she's the co-chair of the Democrat Socialists of America.
So we're going to put up on the screen a few of the things that are part of your platform. And I want to ask you, just give me sort of a true or false on these. Abolish the Senate.
True.
Okay. Replace the presidency and Supreme Court as we now know them.
Yep.
Abolish ICE.
Absolutely.
Abolish borders and give amnesty to anyone currently in the U.S. illegally.
As a long-term plan, yep.
Defund the Pentagon.
Absolutely.
Abolish prisons, at least in large part.
Yeah, again, that is part of a long-term program, yeah.
Okay, so no prisons. Government or public ownership of most large corporations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, folks, you put that side by side with Chairman Mao's. Like, you know, when he went into the communist revolution, it's exactly that. Dismantle the security state, no bicameral legislature, so just the House, not the Senate. Getting rid of the security state, check. Establishing new voter groups, yep, illegal immigrants, check. Folks, this is Mao's platform, the exact one he put forward when he sponsored the communist revolution there in China. She continues.
So if we talk about abolishing prisons, then does that make society better? I mean, is there anybody that should be incarcerated? I mean, rapists, child predators, murderers?
Yeah, so the long-term plan, when we think about most people who are in prison, they are mostly in prison for crimes of poverty. So when
But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the really, the murderers and rapists of the
world. Yeah, so when we get rid of this need for crimes of poverty to exist, when we get rid of that destabilizing force that creates so many people who are living in desperate situations and doing desperate things, that brings those numbers down to very small numbers. And then we can collectively decide what we do with those people. I suspect it won't look like the prison system as we know it today.
Folks, I was a crime reporter for a while. I'm sorry, I covered rape trials, murders. Never did anyone say, well, I was hungry, I was poor, so I raped her. Well, I was hungry and poor, so I killed him. Said nobody ever, but whatever. These people are obviously delusional. Anyway, let's pick it back up here.
Abolish ICE.
Absolutely.
Abolish borders and give amnesty to anyone currently in the U.S. illegally.
As a long-term plan, yep.
Well, Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrat minority leader in the House, was asked about that. Hey, are all these candidates you're running the Democrat Party, they seem to be promising to abolish ICE in the borders. You going to do that, sir, if Democrats return to power?
One of the things that some of those who are winning their primaries and will likely be in office want to know is if you are going to agree to hold votes on abolishing ICE, opening borders, things of that nature. Will you?
Well, I've spoken to several of the incoming members of Congress across the ideological spectrum. Not a single person has raised those issues.
What? That's straight out of 1984, the novel. Remember, the party's greatest command is to ignore the evidence right before your face? These guys are like rewriting 1984 every day. What? Us? Abolish ICE? No, we don't know anything about that. You don't remember the part, Hakeem, where y'all shut down the Department of Homeland Security over ICE funding? You don't recall that in people lines for hours to TSA? Shut down Homeland Security in the middle of a war because you wanted illegals to be able to stay. You wanted to abolish ICE. You didn't want to fund it. You don't recall any of that, Hakeem. Okay, because it's really fresh in my mind. Okay, let's keep going. This, again, is the co-chair of the Democrat Socialist of America, who kindly went on Fox News and recorded a commercial for the Republican Party.
Okay, so no prisons. Government or public ownership of most large corporations?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we're just going to go ahead and take the corporations. We're going to have public ownership of those. Tell me again, what was CNN worried about? We shouldn't be talking about communism? That's super weird. So government will take over corporations. Notice she doesn't mention the mechanism here, i.e. violence. No, we just say, you know, ride on in and everybody will be fine with it. Oh, nobody will object. There won't be any blood on the floor. So, no, that's fine. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, was asked on Friday, yeah, they're saying y'all are headed toward communism, since she's one of them. She's a Democrat Socialist of America Party member. Is that true, AOC?
But isn't there concern that, you know, this slippery slope towards socialism inevitably ends up as full-blown communism?
I mean, no.
I'm concerned about America turning into a communist country in like a year.
I think that that's, I think it's very silly.
And it was hard to hear her. She says, America turning into a communist country in like a year. Please. I mean, it's going to take at least three. I meant five tops. So she'll only promise we're not going to be a communist country this year under the DSA. This is fascinating. No. I always, as a kid studying the Soviet Union, I can remember thinking this in class, even as a child. How did adults ever let their country get this out of hand? Let communists take over? Like, who would ever do that? It sounds perfectly miserable. How did it happen? How do they not see it coming? I'm watching it right now on my television. They're telling us who they are. And if you watch close, they're telling us they're homicidal too. All the clues are there. Not like last week, Hassan Piker giving the address for the Young Democrats of America, wearing that Mao suit. Mao Zedong, who killed, high end, they say 60 million, but low end's 18 million. So I mean, it's probably not as bad as 60, right? Why would you wear that suit? Because you can't say, join us. We're the power movement. We're going to kill everyone we disagree with. You can't say it, but you could project it by wearing that suit. That's why you dressed up as a Chinese dictator. You wore the exact suit Mao Zedong wore during the Communist Revolution. Again, 18 to 60 million dead. He knew what he was doing. That's what Hassan Piker knew. And folks, it's even the New York Times. Did you see over the weekend? They produced their list of most fashionable this year. You know who they put on it? Maduro, the dictator of Venezuela, whose death squads kill usually 5,000 to 7,000 people a year. Now, and everybody else goes in the gulag. They go in the political prisons. You know they crucify people inside those prisons. I don't mean that facetiously. Like literally, they crucify you. It's one of their torture methods. We know that from a guy who escaped. But he's so fashionable. The New York Times said, yeah, they had to quietly delete him off the list after the absolute uproar, including from Venezuelans whose family members had been murdered by him. But, dude, he looks so fashionable during the bloodbath. Can you imagine having family members disappeared or murdered in Venezuela and having to open, go online in the New York Times is positively, you know, promoting him as this great fashionista. Why, folks, they're totally comfortable with Homicide to get their way. They just can't tell you yet.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.